Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, who shows this?
And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge. I'm Anthony Irwin of Lakers Daily, joined today by somebody who I said before we went on the air, I cannot believe it has taken this long to get him on a pod of mine. He covers the Clippers in a way, like, frankly, you cover the Clippers the way that I cover the Lakers, and I really respect it. Like, you really hold their feet to the fire, and I think you do a great job with that. You also have my favorite at in NBA Twitter. Rich, you can find him on Twitter at Rich Homie Flom. Robert, thank you very much for hopping on, man. You can find his work at 213 Hoops. He's also a part of the Lob the Jam podcast, which is affiliated with that website as well. Thank you very much for hopping on, man. How are you holding up?
You know what, Anthony? Well, thanks for having me, first of all. In terms of holding up, you know, I said this on our pod. I was just kind of relieved that this season was over. You know, it was not the most joyous of last few months. You know, the Clippers had their run, but it was the last couple of weeks were not great. And losing to the Mavs is just, it's just not what you want.
It's funny. The Mavs are a team that the Clippers, I feel like, are built to withstand. If everybody is healthy,
yeah.
The problem is they're never healthy, right? That's just like, that's the, cause if you're designing a team to defend Luka, it's with Kawhi Leonard. It's with Paul George. It's with somebody who can do stuff like just kind of make him think about stuff at the rim. Zoo is good enough at that. And then it's, you know, a team that is long enough to, you know, rotate out when Luka kicks the ball out of certain traps, yeah. And stuff like that. That's, I think they've lost some of that by bringing in Russ, by bringing in Harden, by relying as much as they do with Norm. But for the most part, the core there, when healthy, is a group that should be able to beat the Mavericks, but they're just not healthy. And I actually think that's like a perfect kind of jumping off point here in this conversation.
Yeah,
obviously the reason Lakers fans are even more hyper focused on the Clippers than A, they like to admit, and B, than they normally would be. By the way, that is the dumbest thing, this whole like rent free thing between the two organizations or the two fan bases. I don't like the Clippers. It's okay for us. I'm sure Clippers fans don't like the Lakers. And I don't know why that's like not okay to admit.
It's weird. One, it's fine to admit. And two, like, I just feel like you guys should have better rivals than us. Like, you know, the problem is
it's only the Celtics and we see them twice a year. So
that's true.
You know,
the NBA scheduling is so weird. That's a completely different topic, but yeah, it's totally fine. Like, I don't know. It's like, I'm not like really a Dodgers fan, but like when I was a kid and I liked the Dodgers a lot more, like I didn't like the Angels. Like same thing, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So,
especially cause like it's, I know this is condescending or whatever, but it's little brother, you know, it's, you know, and like the thing that little brother can possibly do that pisses off older brother more than anything is get as good or threaten, you know, or become competent enough to challenge older brother. Like I grew up playing basketball. I have a younger brother who is 7 years younger than me. And I have another younger brother who's 13 years younger than me. So while I was like at, you know, still trying to be athletic, the 13, you know, that one never really mattered. But eventually the middle brother, Andrew, he actually did get good enough and athletic enough. He grew up to be a few inches taller than me. He wound up jumping a little higher than me and stuff like that. And it pissed me off. It made me so angry that this guy had like those physical tools that I wish I could have. And and that's honestly how I feel about the Clippers now. It pisses me off that your ownership seems like willing to pay money. And it pisses me off that they run their organization in a way that I wish the Lakers ran theirs, where it's they have no problem spending on front office personnel and scouting and coaching and all of these other things that, you know, hell, they're going to own their own building. That is something that the Lakers still have not done. And that's the part of it that, like, when I am my most kind of snarky as it pertains to the Clippers, it's because I'm sitting here saying, like, there's some stuff going on over there that I wish that... Now, I do think that there are some shortcomings there, too.
Many.
And we can talk about those. But, like, overall, when I am my most sarcastic and I lash out at the Clippers, it's because I look over at the Rambi in the Lakers front office and I'm like, yeah, I wish this wasn't a thing that I had to worry about all the time.
The Clippers are just kind of like a more professional organization.
Yeah.
Is, you know, yeah. I know Harrison, our mutual friend, jokes about the Lakers, like small business, like family business.
Mom
thing.
And pop shop. Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of is like the Rambi are probably the most like current part of that. You know, Rob Pelinka to an extent as well. But like, yeah, I think that's kind of the difference. But I mean, the Clippers, nobody hates the Clippers more than their own fans is the real thing. like, nobody hates the Clippers players more than the Clippers fans. It is, things have changed a lot and some things don't change, which is Clippers fans being probably not the most miserable in the NBA. There's some really tortured fan bases out there, yeah. But like, you like know,
Mets
the Wolves,
fans, I think they're kind of like the Mets and Jets fans, right?
Yeah. Like it's a great comp just for like the smaller, you know, team in the market, everything like that. But like some of these other teams, like the Wolves fans have a great argument to be like the most miserable and like, look at them now. And it's like,
yeah,
way brighter future, which is crazy after the Rudy Gobert trade. And it's just like, that's one draft pick, you know,
yeah.
Can change everything. And the Clippers are, won't have many draft picks for the next decade. So, yeah.
Well, that one draft pick would have been Shea. And, you know.
That yeah.
He plays for a different team.
He did change the franchise, you know, maybe just not in a good way. But, yeah.
He changed that franchise. You were hoping he would change, you know, he would change yours. But, no, I the reason that I wanted to talk to you today is because something about this Tyronn Lue situation seems weird to me, like smells fishy, you know. Normally in this spot, when you have a team that has underwhelmed for as long as the Clippers have underwhelmed in terms of, you know, postseason success and the general like vibe, you know, between the fans and that team, it's just like they need a change. It very, very clearly needs a change. And for some reason, the Clippers think that the thing that they need to change most right now appears to be Paul George, because they extended Kawhi Leonard and they apparently want to bring back Tyronn Lue. And the person that they are trying to, they are reportedly offering below the max to is Paul George. And you know, between the two wings, the person I would be more comfortable paying would probably be PG just because of health. But he doesn't have the greatest track record either. So, but like this whole Lue thing seems super weird to me. Until you get to like corporate America and the way that corporate America works.
And shittily.
But like, you know, because again, the easiest thing in the sport, in professional sports, to change is the head coach, right?
Yes.
Their old money doesn't count against the cap. It's the easiest thing that you could sell your fans on if you're in the copium market. And yet for some reason here with Ty Lue, it doesn't appear to be heading in that direction. And like, you know, for me selfishly, I'm saying this feels very, it feels very tech bro-y, right? Where it's like, well, if we let Lue go and he goes and makes them better, that is a net negative, even if the coach that we bring in is better than Lue or mm-hmm. resonates better or, you know, gets better yields than Lue has to this point. If we make our competition better while we can pay to keep that coach in our building, that is the more ideal scenario here. And then also, like, I also don't blame them at all for basically saying, I don't think it would ever get here with the Lakers, but I understand them at least initially saying, like, we aren't letting this guy go. The Lakers are going to have to trade for him if they want Ty Lue. And so at least right now, it just feels kind of bluffy to me. Am I reading the situation poorly or what's going on there?
It is very confusing because like all NBA teams, the Clippers lie constantly. That's all they do basically. I think you hit on something which is very insightful and is, slightly tangential, but is very accurate to the Clippers and how they've behaved even in the past few years when they've been way more competent than they were for most of the franchise history, which is they're very afraid. They are afraid of backlash. Mm. They are cowardly is too strong, but like them holding on to Ty Lue specifically to keep him from the Lakers is like a very Clippers thing to do, even if they could maybe get a better guy. And people who follow me on Twitter know that Marcus Morris lives rent-free in my brain to a legitimately unhealthy extent. The Clippers traded for him in large part because the Lakers also wanted to trade for him. If you want to think back to 2020, which feels like a lifetime ago, arms race, the Lakers mm-hmm. were constantly being linked to Marcus Morris. So were the Clippers. The Clippers ended up trading for him. And a big reason why that was cited by everybody at the time was so the Lakers would not get him. Look how that ended up working out for both franchises. I think there is something to, if the Lakers had a coach and were not interested in Ty Lue, the reporting might be a little bit different. Mm-hmm. I do think there's at least a little bit of that involved here, where it's like specifically because the Lakers have such an interest, I think the Clippers are probably that much more interested in trying to keep him. That said, it is a very complicated situation because it's all intertwined. The Paul George thing, the James Harden thing, et cetera. If Paul George and James Harden leave, do they really want to bring back Ty Lue on a huge deal? Does Ty Lue want to come back? To me, that's the biggest question.
Yeah, that was my next question. What's stopping him from just resigning? He only has 1 year left on his deal.
Yeah. Resigning is tricky. Do coaches resign? I guess they do. There are plenty of Clippers fans who think Ty Lue is a clutch agent, like a double agent, and has been trying to sabotage his way to the Lakers for like years.
He did just start PJ Tucker in that.
I don't want to think about it. What Ty Lue wants is really interesting because he has not kept secret that like the injuries and all the stuff going on and the fact that the Clippers are never healthy really annoys him and like frustrates him, which makes sense for an NBA head coach and somebody who's very competitive, which Ty Lue is. Yeah. To me, the question is why like he'd want to come back. Maybe the answer is money. Maybe it's just the Clippers are literally just paying him a lot more. My guess is if they do extend him, he's going to be at the, you know, Steve Kerr, whatever pop level of Spoelstra level of like one of the three or four most paid coaches. As we just discussed, maybe the Lakers are not close to that. It's very possible. It could just come down to money.
my guess, if I had to guess, I think Jeannie fainted when she realized, oh my God, now we have to pay Darvin and a championship caliber head coach. Oh dear God.
Yeah, it's really confusing. It's hard to suss out because, so last year, 2023, the Clippers were just absolutely miserable. Ty Lue was going through like a lot of personal things in his life. He said after the season, like several people in his family passed away. And like, it was just this very, very difficult season. Like there were many more rumors last year about him being let go or leaving than there were this year, which was a step in the right direction. In the short term, you can argue long term, hard in, you know, free agency, whatever. But this was like a happier year. But like, it's still like, it ended in the first round. The Clippers are paying a bajillion dollars for a team that is really old and really injury prone. Mm-hmm. And like, does Ty Lue has been really frustrated at times. So like, to me, is it really just a money thing? Like Ty Lue mentioned in his, kind of his exit interview, the Clippers don't actually do exit interviews, which is really funny. But that, you know, he's built relationships across the organization, you know, with Steve Ballmer and Lawrence Frank and Trent Redden and, you know, all these other guys. And that's a big reason why he's staying. Maybe that's accurate. I agree with you. There is something like a little off about it. I think the Clippers are making a very public show of it. I think Ty Lue is making a public show of it. But like, if things go south with their free agency, if like the Clippers are like kind of forced into a pivot or like a light rebuild or whatever the case may be, like, you know, are they really going to sign Ty Lue to a super lucrative extension? I don't know.
So essentially, Lou was hoping that the Lakers don't hire a coach right away, that they take their time here. And because, right, like if they hire a coach and the Clippers free agency doesn't go to plan, he might be, you know, A, the type of extension that you would sign probably wouldn't be as great, or B, he would just be, you know, kind of the opportunity wouldn't be as good, anywhere near as good. That Clippers free agency thing, you had, there was a good write-up that The Athletic did that outlined the offseason ahead for the Clippers. And man, that thing was fascinating because there is so much going on. You have, you know, again, you have the Paul George situation here. I don't think he's a max player anymore.
He's 100% not a max player.
Yeah, like this is the thing that, you know, like hell, I don't think any of those Clippers max guys are max players anymore, right? Kawhi isn't because of the injury concern. You know, Paul George neither. Harden, you just never, like I can never trust that guy. Like maybe in terms of production, you can maybe get there if you look at him in the right light, but like there's just he just always feels like he's, you know, like 1 month away from setting another organization on fire. So like, I just, and look, like, I, frankly, if we're being honest here, the Lakers are dealing with a lot of the same stuff, right? Like the problem with the max system is that unless you have an actual max player, like you're at a real disadvantage, right? Because those players are going to be way more valuable than their contract is just inherently. And then everybody else, if you have like for a long time, basically it, your best or second best player always got max money because teams didn't care about it as much. But with this new CBA, with the second apron, with all of this as it currently exists, now you're seeing a lot of these teams actually negotiate against their best and second best player for the first time in ever. My life, frankly. Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that's where we find ourselves here with Paul George. So like, that, you know, that in and of itself, Paul George's decision and his market and all that, I feel like is really going to dictate the rest of their offseason. If they lose Paul George, would they trade Kawhi and just try to rebuild or what?
So there are so many, it's very complicated, you know, right? Like one, I could not agree more. Like if there was no second apron, I'm pretty sure the Clippers would just max Paul George.
Yeah.
But the way the second apron works is it's not just about like, oh, owners are being cheap. It completely hampers your ability to build a team, right? I'm sure you've
especially next year. Next year, all of the handcuffs come into play. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like impossible. I'm sure you've talked about it as related to the Lakers. It's the same thing for the Clippers. Like Steve Ballmer cannot buy his way out of it. Like it's not a money thing. It's just like an inherent team building restrictions. I think it's stupid. I think the whole thing is ludicrous. It is funny that it punishes the Warriors, but like I think just punishing teams that want to spend is bad. It's a bad thing. Like you should want your owners to spend a lot of money to produce a good product. So issues with that aside, yeah, I mean, I think if there was no second apron, they would just max Paul George. But there is. And Paul George, he's not even close to a max player. For people who did not watch the Clippers Mavs series closely, and I don't blame you, it was really not a very entertaining series to watch. Also, Luka's the biggest whiner in the NBA. Just maddening.
Especially post-kid. Like, he has such annoyed dad energy. And I recognize it. I'm very much an annoyed dad. But, every call, man, even when he would get the call, he would yell at the referee for not making it right when it happened.
And it's like, I my Clippers blogging and podcasting era began with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. I recognize the true, and he is way worse than those guys ever were. It's crazy. But anyway, Paul George was average in a series Kawhi effectively did not play, did not get to 20 points per game. Which is, it's crazy.
That's nuts.
He averaged under 16 shots a game.
Yeah. Well, and that was the thing is that you know, now with some of the teams, I saw you tweet this out and I think it's a really good point because you have a lot of these teams that are looking at him as the missing piece, right? The next thing that helps them take their leap forward. And I don't know if I would rely on Paul George to help me take a playoff leap because it's been the same thing his entire career. I think there's some kind of narrative to it or whatever, but production wise and in those moments, you can just kind of see him, you know, just kind of clam up just enough. That's why it's so important for the Clippers to have Kawhi available,
right?
Because he's the opposite of that. He's the guy who all right, Paul, you just go stand over there. I'll handle these last few minutes. We're good here. You know, and I don't know, if you're Orlando, I know Philly is potentially interested as well. And if you're going to carve out all of the cap space that it takes to get this guy and you're seeing him as that piece that helps you take that next step, I just don't think he's there anymore.
Philly is so interesting because they're really the perfect team. He's the clear third option. They have a guy who can cover. He's still fine on defense, but he's not an elite guy on defense, a guy who can cover up on defense. Maxey will do all the ball handling, Embiid can handle stuff in the post. So whether he goes or not is really, it's again, you said, kind of a bluffing thing. This is all just a big bluff game, the Paul George situation. Much more blatantly than the Ty Lue situation. I think the Paul George situation is pretty clear, which is the Clippers are not offering him a max. He thinks he can get a max elsewhere. When free agency starts, he will present whatever biggest offer that is bigger than the Clippers offer to the Clippers and be like, match this or I'm leaving. And then the Clippers will either be match it, which would probably be a bad idea, or they will call his bluff and be like, we don't think you want to live in Orlando or Philadelphia. And I don't think he wants to live in those places.
Yeah.
And be like, you will take this still preposterous amount of money to live here in Los Angeles and still be the third best player. And you know, Orlando is not going to be a championship team anyway, unless, you know, Franz or Paolo, you know, if that's his argument there, it would just be for the money. Philly, maybe you can see Maxey's way younger, way more dynamic than anybody on the Clippers. Embiid is just a better player, his own injury and kind of clutch issues aside. So yeah, that's the PG situation. But yeah, if PG walks, then do you bring back Harden? I don't know. There's really been very little reporting. You mentioned the Athletic piece that Sam Amick and Law Murray put out. And the Clippers have said they want to bring back everybody. Well, everybody important. Not like Mason Plumlee, but, you know, everybody.
including Rustin, which is weird because I wouldn't consider him all that important. But okay.
It's a different, yeah. But, you know, if they lose Paul George, like you said, all of a sudden you do have options now. Now becomes a real, if we let James Harden walk, all of a sudden, we will have actual cap space by next year.
Mm-hmm.
Not in 5 years. I mean, you still won't have any draft picks outside of some really late swaps because OKC is going to be really good and probably better than the Clippers for the next 5 years. But, you would be able to start rebuilding and reshaping your franchise. If you bring back James Harden and Paul George for 3 years, like you said, nobody's trading for those guys, at least not on positive value. I think some Clippers fans and media people think that they could get pieces for Kawhi Leonard. I don't know what team is trading for Kawhi Leonard, given his injury situation. there are teams that he makes sense on, but like what kind of return does he provide? I have zero idea. And so bringing it back to Ty Lue, it's, I think to some extent it is going to be a waiting game. I would therefore not be surprised if the Lakers do not sign a coach soon. They might really be waiting on him, and he might be waiting on the Clippers in free agency. The way people are talking about it, it's like it's on the verge of getting done. Again, I don't know if I really believe that. I don't know why he would do that unless they are just opening up the bank for him. And maybe they do, because like, you know, as you said, the coaching money does not count towards the cap. Like, you can pay a coach as much as you want. And that's where Steve Ballmer can be like, you're going to be the best paid coach in the entire NBA, Ty Lue. Like, here's $20 million a year for 5 years or whatever. Yeah. And pay him a preposterous amount of money. And maybe that's just it. But it's very hard to suss out. I agree, like, the chances of him leaving are probably higher than has been rumored. And I also agree with you that, like, even though, you know, every time you say this, and I'm sure this happens soon, it drives you absolutely insane, people immediately say, when you say you don't want the coach, it's like, who's better? Find me another coach. And it's like, well, that's not my job. One, that's not my job. I'm not the one with relationships and who's supposed to know about all the up and coming assistant head coaches and like innovative college coaches. Like, I'm not supposed to know that because this is not my full-time job. One, and two, like sometimes change can just be good. Like sometimes the team is just out of ideas, is completely stale. And like, if you do want to bring the team back and bring Ty Lue back, it's like, what do you expect to change from what's been happening the past 4 years? And the answer to me is pretty clearly nothing. which is not good enough. So
you have a nice, it looks like a fireplace or like some kind of a stone wall behind you.
I
just continuing to ram my head up against that brick wall just doesn't sound all that appealing to me, you know, because I don't think, like, I think I saw, was it, I think it was Law, right, who wrote that they made that trade, you know, they sent Shea to OKC, and the thought was that, and I think even Sam Presti said at the time that they might go out and win a championship. The point for them is for the Clippers to win a championship soon, and then we can build kind of further into the future. And lo and behold, the OKC Thunder have won a series before the Clippers have, or something like that. I'd have to find the exact phrasing that he had there.
He said this in 2022, so it was more recently.
Okay.
Because the Clippers did go to the Western Conference Finals in 2021. Yeah. But yeah, he said this in 2022 when they were asked about it, because I think that was like their worst year. They like really bottomed out. Like that was the year they like sat Shea with you know, unexplained injuries for like the last 40 games or whatever it was. And so that quote was from 2022. And so since then, yes, the Clippers have not won a series. Yeah, the Thunder just did. So yeah.
And that's tough. You know, that's it. Yeah. And I'm looking at, you know, because again, you know, for me, I think the Lakers have a lot of this to deal with too. It's funny. They have some of it that they have to deal with in this upcoming offseason, right? Where they have to make a decision on D'Angelo Russell. And they have to, you know, they have kind of forced themselves into a situation here where they can't lose D'Angelo Russell for nothing.
Sounds brutal, and, man.
It's even worse when every time I point it out, I get called racist, but like, it's like, it's funny though, on the other side of that coin, the Lakers actually, you know, they won a championship and then they stripped that team down way too fast, you know, and Danny Ainge, has actually spoken to this to a certain extent where he's like, I was there in the 80s with the Celtics, and that group was kept together for just a season or two too long. And those last two seasons were just brutal for fans, and they were brutal for the players because everybody knew that they weren't going anywhere. And I think here with the Clippers, they're probably already a season too long. Right. And certainly heading into this next one, if you bring everybody back, which I'm told that I'm contractually obligated because of all of this talk of running it back.
Run it back! Run it back!
That I had to play that clip. Harrison, if you're watching, you're welcome. But like, it, you know, with the Clippers as they are right now, and even the Lakers right now, The Lakers, like LeBron and AD, I think are capable of winning almost any series on the, you know, that they play. And if they are equipped at all with like a decent cast, the problem is Rob Pelinka hasn't figured out a way to equip them with a decent supporting cast since they won the championship a few years back. And he keeps holding their feet to the fire, saying that they have to prove that the Lakers have to, or, you know, they are worthy of further investment. And not kind of keeping an eye towards the future. Whereas like with the Clippers, that's the thing that, that I honestly most respect about the way that the Clippers or, operate. They don't let stuff walk for nothing. They keep those cap slots more available than the Lakers have, right? Where like the Lakers just let Caruso walk and they let Malik Beasley walk and they let Mo Bamba walk. Those are things that, you know, at least before this new CBA kicked in, Ballmer just didn't have a problem with doing it. And now I think they're going to have to adjust with the second apron in this new CBA. But I, you know, with the idea of just running it back with the Clippers, at least for me personally, if I was a Clippers fan, I don't know that I'd want to sign up for another season of that.